One of the first questions that I'd like to kind of get into before we really get into the nitty-gritty of what do you think about this thing, what do you think about that. Somebody asked, what goes on behind the scenes of reality television? So somebody, whoever wrote this, must know that I worked in reality television a lot. My brother and I, that was probably the predominant place where we got most of our work towards the end of our Hollywood career. And let me just start out with this question here. Is there anybody out here that thinks reality television is real? Okay, so we're all kind of on the same page here. Reality television is shot a lot of times in a reality style. It's a style of shooting. The reason being is you as a viewer, when you watch these junkier cameras kind of bouncing around, you think like, oh, wow, this was captured on the fly, therefore it must be real. And let me tell you, I've worked on reality shows, very popular reality shows that I'm sure a lot of people in here have seen, where they have an earbud in the guy's ear because he cannot remember a line that they tell him to say, and some producer is sitting in the other room going, say this, you like this girl, you know, and he's feeding him every single line. These things are so scripted a lot of times. Obviously, the game show ones, those have to be real because they're dealing with money and they're dealing with all sorts of other elements that people would sue if it wasn't real. But any of those, like, relationship-type ones, you know, those types of things are definitely manipulated. They can actually sit down. They do so much research on who's going to actually be in the show. So they know if they put the guy who's anti-Christian in the room with the guy who's gay, who's in the room with this person, they can sit down and pretty much write out exactly how it's going to play out. They've studied it, they know it, and so it's a formula that they have that pretty much corrals the situation. And then also, they're mostly interview-driven. So in an interview, they can totally manipulate whatever anybody says because you don't hear the producer asking the question. So if I sat any one of you down and I wanted to manipulate what you said, like I wanted to get him to say, I like the color blue, I could sit here and ask him line of questioning going, why do you like the color blue? Now, reinstate the question because you're not going to hear my voice. And so he would have to go, I like the color blue because. Does that make sense? So now I can get him to say anything I want to. And the way that those interviews work is the producer has exactly what he needs the person to say. And he sits there and just asks him questions until he says it. He'll sit there for 3 hours and then just checks it off the list. So they're very manipulated and staged. And then, you know, there's shows out there that are very popular, such as The Biggest Loser. What is that show about? Wrong. What's that show about? It's about the drama in between all of that. The losing weight is the backdrop of the show. The drama is what drives the show. Do you really, really honestly learn how to properly lose weight? No. You see the people go through the transformation, and let me tell you, it is an amazing transformation. Some of these people have their lives completely changed, but that's not what drives the show. So you watching the show, you're still once again being conditioned about the drama.
Conflict resolution.
Yeah, conflict resolution. Do you have a question?
Then go for now.
No.
Okay. This one says, in what ways are we being desensitized to the love message of the gospel? Well, as we know that by repetition, through television and through movies, we start to think or potentially start to think a different way. All of a sudden, our theology will be changed, potentially. And the pure essence of the gospel that as we know it from the Bible, you know, all of a sudden we can either make it super complicated or we can go the other direction and make it so watered down that it's really oversaturated with love, if you will, and it becomes a feelings-based gospel. And, you know, again, when we've gotten to a place, if we spend so much time watching television and movies that our guard is let down all the time, you know, studies have been shown, and this was shown in the video game case, that when a person is done playing video games, their mind stays in that alpha brainwave pattern state for a period of time after they are disengaged from video games. And so the same can be said about television. You know, over time we become obviously desensitized, whether it's violence or whether it's these little tiny issues. You know, Scott showed through I Love Lucy just that little problem with lying. And all of a sudden, lying may be okay to some people. And yeah, the pure essence of the gospel is potentially lost.
Here's a question. Say you have been watching TV since you were little and you used to be addicted. Is there a way to restore your brain? If so, how? And how does it help the brain? Let me tell you, I have plugged my brain into so much of Hollywood's content that I honestly believe that God can create in you a new spirit. God can create in you a new mind. And I've seen some of the most addicted, and the drug world is obviously kind of using an extreme, because usually you can see the physical effects of drug use a lot more than you can some of our mental intakings. I've seen people that were heroin users for 20, 30 years come to Christianity and be completely in their right mind. So I honestly believe that God can change anything that we've put into our mind if we just allow Him to put on the mind of Christ. And so how do you go about doing that? Well, let me tell you, it was probably not until I started reading my Bible that I even started seeing any of this. Because some of the clips that we've shown, which we took out for time's sake and stuff, will show exactly how when you watch things, you don't realize what you've just seen, and you know, you're filling your mind with all sorts of anti-God things. But I'd watched those movies 20 or 30 times and never, ever saw that. And it wasn't until I started reading my Bible and asking God, God, open my eyes to the world around me. And I started paying attention to things that I all of a sudden started to see that. And then when I started focusing more on my Bible and on serving God and on doing things that were helping my fellow man than hurting them, then all of a sudden the things of this world started to grow strangely dim. And I stopped watching movies. I stopped watching television. And actually, I don't even like to watch them, because I don't want to sit there and watch such dark things and dark images. Even showing you guys some of these things, we've struggled with it so many times, just going, I'm sick of seeing this kind of stuff. I wish that, you know, there wasn't a place for us to stand up here and have to point these things out. I would be happy that, you know, we didn't have this kind of a thing, but a lot of people are just unaware, and obviously pointing it out and letting them speak is a great way to start to unplug. So my answer to that in more than a few words is, read your Bible, gain a close relationship with God, and you won't even want to watch TV.
With what Scott just said, we've had people a year after we gave this presentation, for example, up in SoCal camp meeting, a whole family came up to us, and I barely remembered who they were, but they were telling us how they decided they were going to try to do this media fast. And they got rid of everything, and they weren't sure how their kids were going to react, because the kids were very much into the Disney films. But they didn't want to just, you know, cut the gauntlet on them, because they were, I don't know, from 7 to 12 around there. And just by praying and the parents taking an active role in disengaging from this, the children on their own accord within 24 hours said they wanted to get rid of everything that had to do with the entertainment industry. I mean, we're talking about thousands of dollars worth of DVDs and video games. And when they came back to us a year later, when we just saw them this last July, you could see the overflowing joy that they had from disengaging from this saturation that they had led into their family. It was absolutely phenomenal. So, again, what Scott said, yes, there is hope when we actively disengage and we pray that God will give us a new mind, because He says, take this mind of Christ. He will give that to us. It's His promise. And we can rest assured hold them to that promise. This question, 30 days of media fast, what about watching 3ABN, LLBN, Hope Channels, also Gospel Music Channel? Oh boy. I think of when Lot was pulled out of the city and he asked the angel if he could go to just the smaller city. No. 3ABN and those channels have very incredible programming. The point, though, with the media fast is to completely disengage, to almost hit the reset button in our minds. You know, while these networks have great content, what are they doing with our time? I mean, they can inform us, but how much of do we take and just spend hours and hours and hours watching the 3ABN? Potentially, we could, instead of going to church, now we can just sit at home and watch it, and then we can watch the next program after that and the next program. So, my encouragement with a media fast is to cut it completely off for 30 days and then reassess those things afterwards. But the point of that media fast is, again, clear the mind, get a clear slate, and then reevaluate at that end of that 30 days.
You know, isn't it amazing that in this day and age, all of a sudden we've now surrounded ourselves with this thing called television, and if somebody says, turn it off, we go, well, what do we do now? I mean, what has man been doing for 6,000 years? There's so many activities to get outside, do things with other people, interact with people. I think on another front that the devil works, and this doesn't mean that watching 3ABN you're all of a sudden like involving yourself in some sort of devil work, but you know, our interaction with each other is building relationships with each other. I was brought back into the church because of a DVD. Somebody handed me Ivor Myers and a few other ones that just woke me up. So I'm saying this is wonderful stuff. We can actually use this to spread a large amount of material to people that otherwise couldn't get a hold of that information. But to sit and just use that as your only focus, you know, when you watch 3ABN, how many of you have your Bible out there and you're checking what they're saying? Check things. Think about it. Your eternal salvation, you're putting a lot of trust in somebody, even standing up here. When somebody's reading a Bible verse, open up your Bible and read it. They might say something that's just slightly twisting or emphasis on the wrong thing that may, you know, point you off in a different mindset. So just be careful in whatever you're watching and know 3ABN is not bad. Thanks, 3ABN. Let's see. Somebody asked here, I thought this was a great one, what about the Pioneer television or the Apple computer? Were you trying to subliminally prime us? Yes, we were. Buy an Apple computer. No, I'm just kidding. Those videos that you saw, some of them were taken from YouTube, and they were such junky videos that it just looked funny in this tiny little screen in the middle. So we just put it around a television, I guess we can block out that next time, but we didn't have any previous thought of that. The Apple computer, yes, maybe, but. Do you want to do
that? You always give me the hard ones. What message are behind the Christian cartoons? Example, VeggieTales. You know, and there's another one that's kind of similar to that. Is VeggieTales appropriate for children under 7 and 10? Or, yeah, 7 years old. You know, I've never seen a VeggieTales. I don't allow my kids to watch them. So I can't. To me, it's just kind of weird, a vegetable talking. I just can't get past that factor of it. But as far as the moral, I've never sat down and watched one and analyzed it and saw if it was appropriate or not. I would rather my children do something more constructive with their time. I would rather my children actually learn of these values and virtues and character building from storytelling, story reading. That's my personal opinion. To be honest, I can't say whether VeggieTales are good or bad.
Is it possible to 100% avoid being manipulated? Yes. Turn off the TV. it depends. I think each one of us is different. Like there's different levels of hypnosis. Some people are more suggestible. Some people are less. I think that not everybody that sits down and watches television eats it hook, line, and sinker. But the majority of people that watch these kind of things, they soak on the manipulation. And yes, you can be deceived, and you may not even know that you are. One of them says, what are the effects of internet on the brain? Don't answer that?
Sure.
In this question, it's a two-part question, and Scott appropriately stopped after that question, because it says, what are the effects of the internet on the brain or pornography? Of course, he gives me this one again. The internet on the brain. The internet is an incredible source of information. I mean, 99.9% of this information that you saw today was from the internet. And it wasn't just the first site we saw, and then we did our proper research. However, the internet is also, I mean, it's called the World Wide Web. It is a web, and it is an incredible time waster. There's so many social networks, which I am guilty of having one of those accounts, but how do you utilize your time on the internet? And that, to be honest, that is the biggest factor. And if we spend enough time, there's enough flashing images on the internet suggesting date this person or, you know, whatever, that eventually people can fall, especially men, to this problem, this obsession with pornography. And it is not, it's a huge issue, and it's a big epidemic. And I don't have the statistics in front of me, but it's quite staggering how many...
60%.
What is it?
60% of the internet is used for pornography. Staggering.
Very staggering. And the majority of that 60% is men, married men. And so the internet is very detrimental in that sense, for that, and then also for just time wasting. But on the other side, it's a very beneficial tool.
You know, there's a great documentary that was made called Somebody's Daughter that's all about pornography. And this is such an epidemic that has plagued our society recently because of the accessibility. I mean, in the history of the world, it was pretty hard to be able to see other people engage in that type of activity. And now in today's society, you can do it behind closed doors and you know, virtually at the drop of a hat. Now you're starting to get internet on phones and all sorts of things. So the accessibility is getting more prevalent. And then also, of course, television is starting to get more and more down the road of you know, their morality is breaking down, and their triggers. So, you know, things in movies and all that can easily whet the appetite. And then, of course, the internet, when a lot of people use it late at night or in places by themselves, can easily fall prey to that. So definitely the internet is one that should be, prayerfully used. And there's a world of information out there at your fingertips. I've heard a statistic that said that in today's world, in one day, somebody has enough information at their fingertips in one day as someone in the 1900s had in their entire lifetime. So we live in a fascinating age. And of course, with that comes a lot of Satan's devices also. There was another question here that said, do you have plans or have you considered using your skills to create high-quality Bible studies or media for unchurched postmodern people?
Yes.
Yes, that is something that we're actually in talks with multiple different people right now on various different levels. We've just come from ASI, and there was quite a few people that were really talking about getting involved in reaching the postmodern world and how is the best way to do that. That's another thing that I think is really fascinating. I mean, having that ability to hand somebody is a great way to reach somebody who, you know, that's what the world is used to, plugging in a DVD and downloading some stuff. Maybe they don't have a Bible. So I think it's a great way to reach the postmodern world, and we're definitely looking into that. How is sports influenced through Hollywood's mass media? You know, we get a lot of questions about sports. At least we've started to lately. People have kind of asked us, you know, hey, are you guys going to do a project on sports, or are you going to talk about it? You know, once again, I think without looking crazy deep into sports, I've heard all that the baseball diamond is like an occult shape and this and that. And you know what? I don't think that if you watch baseball, you're entering into some sort of crazy occult worship practice. But you do have to consider the fact that these people are still, once again, highly worshipped individuals. So I think, how much are you involving yourself in that? How much are you paying attention to that? And if that takes a higher precedence in your life than heavenly things, then I think you really need to consider that. But just as far as like Hollywood's got some evil plan with sports, I mean, I think the devil's using individuals as forms of worship, but I don't necessarily think that it's all of a sudden tricking you into something else. What about Christians in sports in Hollywood? I'll answer that. Sports, to me, you know, I was very much so involved in the sports programs when I was in grade school and high school, and at Paradise, our sports teams were very active, and it was like the thing to do. I mean, if you were on the sports team, you were the cool kid. My focus was definitely aiming at that, because I think everybody, you know, struggles with the popularity thing in high school. And I really, 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 that was my focus. I lived, breathed, slept basketball. I played it nonstop and made it onto the sports team. And I feel like that was perhaps my focus. Do I think that you know, kids in our schools should even be playing sports? I think that there is a definite level of activity that we can involve ourselves in, but I don't think it should be the centerpiece of the school. I don't think it should be the centerpiece of our activity, and you shouldn't be surrounding the school's activities around it, and I think that there's a line that should be drawn there.
It is clear. It is clear the Jews are attacking Christianity. Even Freemasonry is based on Kabbalah Judaism. What have you seen in the industry openly focused to that cause by directors?
Well, I mean, certain directors obviously pick the projects that they really want to work on. The director that directed the movie Pleasantville, I'm sure he knew what he was doing. And also, even more so than that, in our Gnostic video, we talk a little bit about the Truman Show. Actually, let me talk about that guy. He is very much into Gnosticism, and he's picked different projects that are heavily involved in that area. And when I see a director pick two or three or four different movies that are all dealing with the same sort of subject matter, I think that there's definitely a agenda behind their belief system. And I can see that, because me being a Christian, I want to talk about God. I want to tell people about God. If that's their belief system and they're into Gnosticism, they want to tell people about God too, and they want to, or their God, and they want to push their thoughts of religion onto other people. So,
you know, there's a lot of movies that have this New Age kind of overtones to it, and again, through repetition, we'll start to take on those theological basings, if you will, and then that starts to creep into our Christian home, if you will, the Christian church. And all of a sudden you have these mystical practices like Kabbalah and all these other things. And pretty soon, contemplative prayer, if you will, is not such a bad thing. And it's rooted in Eastern religion. And so if the mass media can be hooked on it, and especially Christians, then over time, our thinking will start to take on that form. How much is the government involved in media? Speculation a lot, but on various levels. Take the video games, for example. The military exploded its enrollment when they started creating video games that were put out by them, by the Army and the Marines and whatnot, that were geared to the mass public. And as soon as the public got a hold of that, all of a sudden people were enrolling into these military boot camps left and right. And in fact, if you go, there's one place in Philadelphia, in the Philadelphia Mall, that is completely geared for people playing video games. They have simulations of helicopters and Humvees and reenacting fighting in the Middle East. And even controllers for robots and whatnot are an exact replica of like PlayStation 2 controllers and Xbox controllers, because those people that grew up playing video games are so familiar with those that it's an easy transition into there. There's quite a bit of, I'm sure, involvement in television and the internet usage in movies. It's just, I think, a form of conditioning the mind.
What about Walt Disney? Well, if you really look into Walt Disney, without really attacking Walt's life, he was an open 33rd degree Freemason, and a lot of his content that he came up with for that was specifically aimed at children is hugely stemmed in sorcery. And the magical arts and these kind of things, I think, are definitely something that we are told to steer clear from. You know, in Deuteronomy, do not be involved in sorcery, witchcraft, divination, all these different things that are abomination to God. So even in a fake, fictitious story, such as a cartoon, is that something that we should really be involving ourselves with and watching? I would almost say, I don't really trust Walt Disney. I mean, if you watch, take for instance, like these movies like WALL-E, okay? WALL-E is how many people out here know what WALL-E is? Seen WALL-E? Okay. Here's a story of a little robot, and I don't trust these little like cartoons that are so aimed at adults, but yet children watch them. Now, WALL-E is the opening scene to the movie. Is here's this dirty little robot on the planet that's a broken down planet with not a soul on it, and all the human beings are up in the sky. Does that ring a bell for anybody? So the second that I started watching that, I was like, okay, where are you going with this, Pixar? What's going on with this little tiny dirty robot? Now all of a sudden, you have this robot that meets the other character named Eve, ironically enough. And Eve takes him to this paradise, this Axiom ship. And Axiom, if you look up the definition of that, means now that you have a truth, you can start to reintroduce new truths. So all of a sudden, now you have this little robot going into this perfect world where everybody walks in lines. You can do whatever you want to. And of course, they portray it just like Gnosticism does portray God's world as this like tyrannical, like problem, all they want to do is control you. Now all of a sudden you have this dirty little robot that goes up there. And when the little security robot scans him for the first time, it says 100% contaminant. So here you have a robot that's sort of mimicking this Luciferian character on Earth that's come to this perfect world who's 100% contaminated. And what does he start to do? He starts to contaminate the environment. He starts to now cross over the lines and And like the first time that Wally goes across the line, then that guy's cleaning up his little dirt things. Now he gets out of line. Then all of a sudden more robots get out of line. Until the very end of the whole movie, he lets all this chaos into this world. The whole ship basically almost breaks down. And then they just need to get back down to Earth because the whole mission is to rebuild Earth back up. Well, that's a huge Gnostic view that all of a sudden we can rebuild this Earth. That even when it all goes down, somehow we can start to fix it and to make it better. So is that an appropriate subject matter for a child? You know, I mean, you got to wonder, when you go home and type in Gnostic and Wall-E, and all of a sudden these Gnostic websites are like, this is the greatest esoteric movie that they've made. You got to start to wonder. They're the ones that are saying that this is right along with their religion. So that's what scares me about Walt Disney. I know that Hollywood has long aimed a lot of stuff at young children, and I just would rather steer clear of it. Somebody also said, what about Lie to Me? Is that bad? That was a show that was on there that we talked about a little bit. You know, some of these crime shows and the CSIs and all those types of shows, that the real result that you're getting out of these is how do you murder somebody? I mean, there's a whole world of people out there that are watching these kind of things and learning on a daily basis how to do that. And here's a show about a psychologist who people try to lie to him and he knows what they're doing and stuff like that. So watching it, are you gaining insight on how to potentially lie to these people? I mean, I think that there's many different angles. That's what I would say is my take kind of on Lie to Me.
Is this hypnotic marketing scheme the same that causes people to desire name brands that are ridiculously priced high, such as Gucci wallets and other things of that nature? As we see that, you know, the advertising industry is a very highly calculated industry to market a product to you, and if they show you through repetition, eventually you will buy it. And we've been conditioned and convinced that we need to have the shirt that has the giant G on it. And we have now become walking billboards, and they have reduced their marketing costs because now we're starting to pay them to advertise for them. And of course, we see that enough times, we are going to want to wear the giant G or whatever name, brand, or logo has. And so, yeah, it's in a very manipulated marketing scheme. Yeah, it's hypnotic if you are viewing it in the sense of television and music.
So is there any other questions out there before we close? Well, we kind of answered this one a little bit earlier. How do you overcome your addiction to movies, and how do you maintain the separation? I just really stand firm on build a close relationship with God, and that's how you begin to separate. You have to fill that time with something. If you don't, it's just like the story that Christ told, casting out the demon, and you can clean up your house. If you do not fill it with the Holy Spirit, it's very easy to fall back into that lifestyle. In fact, we've had other people come up and approach us and say, oh, I had a huge problem with video games, watched your stuff, threw them all away. And you know what? A couple months later, they started coming back one by one until I had a full stack of a couple hundred of them back. So you have to start to fill your time with other things. That's the only way that I see to get rid of it.
You know, there's a whole mess load of things that, you know, we can do. There's a thing called reading, and it's where you get a book and you learn about something. You know, the public library, especially in the times we live in, offers these things for free. And the whole section on history, I mean, history is an incredible source. And if we can internalize these things and know how, we were always told that history is going to repeat itself. And so let's learn about our forefathers and learn about the Reformation, learn about all these things. And, you know, our minds will also benefit. Get outdoors, go for hikes, just be creative. And the other thing too is be actively involved in outreach. That's probably the most, aside from taking the time to spend in the Word, after you internalize the Word and through prayer, put that into action. And when you start actively getting involved in outreach, whatever it might be, God is going to help you. He's going to make those divine appointments, and all of a sudden you're going to have your time full.
So there's some celebration aspects of some of the Adventist churches, this is what you're asking, and that are using some of these things. You mean showing the movies, or you mean... I think, do I see that using drama and playing movie clips and things like that in the sermon setting, do I see it on as a decline, or is it still on the rise? I think it's on the rise. I have heard sermons preached from the pulpit that Neo from The Matrix is like Christ, and equating all these different like aspects of these worldly movies to Christ. And I think it's very dangerous to take things of the world and try to fit them into a mold. We've had people come up to us and say, you know, oh, but you can find the good in anything. Yeah, but can you mold anything into Christ? No. And I think that molding something into Christ that has no characteristics of Christ is the Antichrist. And so I think that people are just unaware. I really honestly believe when we gave this talk in Montana one time at one of our Adventist schools, we had some computer issues. He went home to go get a cable, and I just was sitting there kind of like telling people like my whole life story. And I asked the question. I said, who here even thinks that, you know, the TV can affect you? And I would say probably 10 hands went up. And I said, is there about 90% of you think that that is just entertainment? And they said, yeah. And so after we did the whole presentation, I said, now who thinks that television can affect you? And of course, everybody was, you know, in agreement with saying, yeah, they are trying to affect you. So I think unaware people are using these things of the world to try to tell the gospel story. I have a little thing in my heart with acting, because I was trying to be an actor. I was trying so hard. I was trained to be an actor. And, you know, using drama in church and things, I see why Ellen White talked about not using one jot or one tittle of acting. And the reason being is because when I was taught how to act, it's basically who can lie better. You are lying to everybody around you that you feel those emotions, that you want them to see something in you that you're not necessarily going through or feeling or anything. I mean, it's a sort of a deceptive manner in my eyes of going through that. And so does that make a consistent? Is that consistent with God's plan? Does it seem that? And that doesn't mean that God can't use, you know, people to his glory. And, you know, I've seen, you know, drama stuff in churches that, you know, people felt like they got a real big blessing out of it. And who am I to say, you know, oh yeah, that's totally wrong, and, you know, you're just not doing it right. All I can say is, you know what, I was trained to do this. I know what I feel like it was for me. I don't really want to be involved in it at all. And so that's my take on it. Take that for whatever it's worth. And I mean, I honestly believe what Arne's. So this says, is the color scheme in the slide, which compares Christ to Satan, an artistic, incidental, or perpetuation of the media's use of color schemes in reference to negative racial stereotypes, i.e. white is good, black is bad? No, not at all. It was not intended like that at all. We were just kind of using it as this is a black and white thing, saying that you know, one side of it is like God, the other side of it is like the devil. Not saying that either side was the good side or the bad side. Just, you know, the term, this is a black and white issue. It's a no-brainer. that's kind of the thought process that was going behind it when we built the slide, not necessarily trying to say that the black was the bad. It could have been flipped around the other side.
Any other questions?
The question was, what about religious films like The Passion of the Christ and various films like that? Some of these films are taken from a very one-sided agenda. You take the movie The Nativity Story. How many people have seen that? Was there any scene with Jesus in that film? And that was taken from, you know, and I say this very cautiously, but that film was the only film ever to premiere in the Vatican because it was a movie all about Mary. And so there's a lot of films where there's things. See, the movie industry can manipulate. They can base it on a religious story, but they can manipulate a few things here and there. And if we're not completely studied in the Word and know exactly how those stories really played out, you know, we can be deceived if we don't know our Bibles. And then, you know, again, that's also the artistic depiction of the director and the screenwriter of that story. So they're implanting in your mind how that story played out. For example, the Ten Commandments, by watching Charlton Heston play this role of Moses, all of a sudden you now have a visual. Instead of letting God and the Holy Spirit give you that vision of what that scene should have been like, now you have it seared in your mind of what the Ten Commandments really look like. And I think that's a little dangerous. That's not to say that all films, like Scott said, you know, they have been a benefit to a lot of people, and they've actually been the wake-up call to a lot of people. So me personally, I try to stay away from the religious dramas, just because sometimes, the majority of the times, there might be a little bit of a twist to them.
And in my opinion, they never seem to keep it correct. Like in One Night with a King, which was an Esther story, you know, Esther sneaks out, goes to a party. This is not really in the Bible, but yet Hollywood kind of has their spin on it. I have yet to see a Hollywood production that actually sticks so close to the Bible. And then, you know, it's just amazing to me that they can get every button correct on most of these movies, but yet all of a sudden when it turns to religious things, that there's just so much kind of error in it. So Passion of the Christ was written by a Jesuit. So do some research on who writes these movies and look into them. And, you know, their philosophies, I'm sure, are somewhat incorporated into those movies.